The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name, of course, is Scotty Reed, and I'm broadcasting from behind these enemy lines that I call USA Inc. Today is a Monday. It is October the 31st. It's the last day of the month. Now we're heading into my birthday month, which is November. Thank you for the birthday wishes. I've already gotten them, and my birthday isn't until November the 30th, but I appreciate it all the same. But this year has really gone by fast. So it's a Monday afternoon as I broadcast to you from North Carolina on a pretty muggy day. It's pleasant. It's a pleasant day. Got through the weekend without getting caught up with any slave catchers, and nobody in my family got any tickets. So it was a pretty good weekend, I would say. And I hope that you made it through the weekend safe as well. Now, let's get into today's program. Today will be pretty much be an open forum, even though I have listed a topic, which is black business ethics. But it's pretty much an open forum. I'll be on air for just an hour today, but later on at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, there'll be some more live streaming with the Tando Radio Show. So today is pretty much an open forum. You can call in and speak your piece, whatever is on your mind. Ask me any kind of questions. But starting off, I just want to talk about black business ethics. Over the weekend, I talked to a potential client, and I would say after last night's conversation, they will be a client and will be streaming a live program on the radio station Black Talk Radio. But then I talked to another client that we do have and have had for years, and then I talked to a potential client who wants to leave a black internet-based radio program that's based in Atlanta, and she came across Black Talk Radio and said that she felt like the type of content we do matches the content that she produces, which is conscious black radio, and the station she's currently on, she doesn't fit in because it's ratchet. That's her words. She said it's a ratchet station, and I don't feel like I fit in there. And so she's looking at coming to Black Talk Radio Network in January after her contract is up, because she had to sign a contract, which isn't all that unusual in the radio game. I know a lot of terrestrial radio stations. I've had clients who were on terrestrial radio stations and wanted me to handle their online radio stream, but they had to sign contracts to be on the station for a certain amount of years. And I actually came across an internet-based radio platform, And they did the same thing. I knew someone from my days on Blog Talk Radio, and she jumped out there and jumped on this platform, and they made her sign a year-long contract. She had to be on that station or pay for the whatever the contract was for her to purchase airtime on that station. They made her sign a contract that was 1 year long. And then she felt cheated. She felt like things weren't working like they were supposed to work. And, you know, you're going to have technical issues when you're dealing with technology. But I was just amazed that they was making people pay up front. And, you know, you had to be on there for a year. And she spent quite a bit of money. I'm talking in the thousands of dollars. And it just got, now that wasn't a black platform or black owned platform, but the other ones I want to discuss, and I'm not going to name any names because I don't want to seem like I'm petty and I don't want it to take away from my main message. And my main message is black business ethics. And those of us, whether we're running a nonprofit organization such as the Black Talk Media Project, or whether we're running a for-profit as some of these other black radio station platforms that I have come across and found out some things about, and I feel like they're not dealing with their customers in an ethical manner. And that's a problem. And yesterday I was listening to one of our media partners, and we simulcast Time for Awakening Radio on Black Talk Radio on Sundays at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. But they do have their own radio station and radio platform using the services of the Black Talk Media Project. But they had a guest on yesterday, and the topic of why don't black people like spending money with other black people? Why? And I don't know if there's any statistical data to back up these things, and we've all have heard them about not enough black people doing business with black owned businesses. And without looking at any kind of statistics, I can say that that probably does have some truth to it. But then why was the question that was asked? And I don't have the guest speaker, Dr. I can't remember her name right now, but she's well known in the black conscious community. And one of the reasons she gave was black self-hatred, is that black people mistreat each other. They don't want to support each other because they hate themselves. So if you hate yourself, you don't love yourself, then you are more than likely going to mistreat other people. And if that self-hatred is attached to anti-blackness, where you hate that you're even was born black, then you're going to treat people who look like you, or I should say mistreat them, because you don't like your own black skin and they have black skin. And so, and I'm not doubting any of that. I would say that that is the case. I can't say what the percentage is, or it's not my field of expertise. I haven't read any data to support any of that. But I do know one thing that I can speak on, is that sometimes, though, when we hear about black businesses not providing good customer service or not providing a good service, or now it's wrong to paint any group of people, any demographic, it's wrong to put that out there as a blanket statement, because everybody is not the same. We are individuals. We have different values. We have different ethics. We were brought up on different things. We consume different type media. And so it's just not ever correct to paint any group with a broad brush like that. But I have to say, in terms of black-owned internet radio platforms that's out there, since I had the opportunity to do some research on them after their names were brought up, after some things were said that what they require, and I'll share some of those things, but I'm not going to share the names again. I just don't want to do that. I don't want anybody to think that, oh, I'm just trying to get a business advantage over these other people since they are my competitors, quote unquote, although I don't view them as competitors. And their business practices, in my opinion, are not above board. They are engaged in some shadiness that it just made me angry over the weekend. I was like, see, this is where these rumors, this is where these stereotypes come from. That you'll do business with a person and then you have a bad experience. And so then you want to act like, well, everybody who may look like that person or what, everybody else is just like him or just like her. And that's not the case, but I do see where these rumors get started and these stereotypes get applied to black businesses, and that it just made me so angry because we already have racism to overcome, and now we got to deal with, you know, these business owners who are not dealing ethically with our people, and then it gives all of us a bad name. So, if you're a black business owner out there, we've heard the old saying that when we competing with white folks, and whether it's in the job market, whether it's in education, whether it's in sports, whatever activity area you choose, we usually tell our children, you got to be twice as good to make it. See, they already got white privilege as an advantage. Their white skin is an advantage. So you really have to outperform them to where it would be foolish for whoever is making the decision to pass you up. So you got to be way, way better. So we hear that. And then I feel like we can apply that to black businesses as well. We have to be doing things ethically. We cannot be out here trying to exploit our people and take advantage of people because it's just not right. It is not a just thing to do. I don't think I should have to explain that. I think most adults should know the difference between right and wrong. And so this kind of started me last week when I was hearing some individuals talking about the internet and talking about business on the internet and talking about radio programs, and then me having a certain level of expertise and experience. I mean, I bought my first personal computers when personal computers were not cheap. Today, I can go online and find a computer for less than $200. Well, back in the day when personal computers went on sale, I had to have somebody build it. It was a company that built them. And then, I mean, it was not cheap. It was not cheap. I was on back in the days where 56 kilobytes per second was fast. That was considered fast. We didn't have no high-speed internet like they say. But no, that was regular telephone line. That's when you was going on the internet through the phone lines. You didn't have the cable. You didn't have the fiber optics. You didn't have DSL. So, and that was back in the 1990s when I bought my first personal computer. After being exposed to it when I was in the military, well, yeah, I worked with computers in the military. We had that touchscreen technology back then that really only recently has entered into the commercial market. But there was a guy who was in my unit, in my military unit, who had a personal computer in his barracks room. And I was like, man, I didn't even know that they made these sort of things. He played games on it and that sort of stuff is where you had the little floppy disk that you had to put in there to read the game. And then you used the keyboard to play the game. And, of course, you had some accounting programs you could do back then. So the internet and personal computing has come a very, 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 very long way. And I have been there to witness it and consume it and learn it and learn about all these sort of things, website designing. I taught myself. Well, I would have to say the people who wrote the books that I was reading taught me. I read the books and it was trial and error. I remember back in the day, you was just writing, making websites straight from code. You didn't have content management systems like WordPress, like Joomla, like Mambo. You didn't have all these content management systems that reduce the need for you to be writing all this code. Now, you can still write some code with these sort of content management systems to customize it further, these platforms or websites to customize, but pretty much all the heavy lifting is being done by WordPress or by whatever content management system you come across. When you see something that says CMS, that's what that stands for, content management system. So I know a little something about web development. I know a little something about how the internet work. I know something about websites. I know how to take a look at your website and see how many people are actually utilizing your website. So I know where to access these free tools that a lot of people don't know about. When they come to your site and you tell them, well, I got 200,000 listeners and I got this and all these people, this the number one black business website for business directories and all of that, and then I go to one of these web analytic platforms that's going to send robots out, web robots, and scan your site, and then it's going to give me that information, then I see that you're lying to people. You are a liar. Nobody's even visiting your website. In fact, so few people are visiting your platform that the web analytic tools will tell you can't rank this website or can't give you this particular metric because there's not enough traffic or there's not enough data. Every time somebody visits a website, that generates data. So they can't collect your data. That tells me not very many people are using your platform. So how do you justify charging people, let's say a business listing website, a business listing portal or something? How do you justify charging people $100+ to list their black business in your... Where's the value in that? I might as well just burn the money. I might well just let it go up in smoke because I'm just throwing money away. And a lot of us, we get taken advantage of because we don't know the very basics. We don't know the right questions to ask. We don't, I guess, know other people that we can trust to get a second opinion. Or we don't shop around and see what so-and-so says and then what is they doing, and we're not asking for proof or information. They could sit up there and tell you they got 1 million visitors a day. Then these outside analytic websites should be able to reflect that. I should be able to plug in your website and see that. So that's what I'm talking about in business ethics. You say that you the number one platform for Black Talk Radio. Nobody else is doing more than you. And I go to your website and there's no traffic. That's what gives businesses in general, and being that black businesses, we have to deal with racism, anti-blackness to begin with. That hurts us all when individuals like that do those sort of things. You're exploiting people. You're taking advantage of people. You're taking advantage of them being naive about how these things work. They see a website and they say, oh, it's black, so I want to support black people. We want to support black people. And then you take advantage of them. That's I try to keep my language clean. So I'm going to keep my language clean. But I was cussing. I was cussing this weekend as I was talking to some of my clients and potential clients, and they were telling me these experiences that they had. For an example, there's a radio platform out there, a black radio platform out there, that when you contact them to ask them, well, how, because they're not even putting the information on the website. And that's a red flag right there. If it's not telling you how much they charging on the web, on the website per hour to be on a radio station, you better believe then that they probably charging high prices and they need to get you on the phone so they can talk you, they can smooth talk you. So this one particular platform, I've been aware of it for a while, but I did not see, because I don't look at other people as competitors. I do what I do. I focus on our platform. I focus on our business services and try to do the very best that I can do, because that's how I was raised. That's how most people, I think, are raised. You want to be the best at what you do. Not so much that you in competition with each other, but you just not don't want to do what they say, half-ass job. You don't want to do that, because that's a reflection of you. Now, if you just starting out and you learning and you're doing it all yourself, like when I first started building websites. But even back then, the websites I were building were comparable to what other people were building, because there's a standard. The standard today is CMS, content management systems. Not just HTML and just posting a bunch of links and these one-page HTML sites. And that looks like in the 1990s or something, man, where people were just learning how to do these sort of things. But getting back to this particular station. So I was talking to a client, and the client said that they were looking, they were already clients of ours, but they wanted to simulcast their program on another network. So they was like, how much you charge per hour? We do a program at a certain time. If you had that time slot open, how much you charge for us to take up that slot and broadcast our program on your platform? And so this person gonna tell him that, well, you gotta have this special equipment that I gotta bring and install in your house, and it's gonna cost $2,500. And so this person already is already doing internet radio and broadcast, running his own radio station, managing his own media platform, in addition to, and he's using the services of Black Talk Media Project, and he knows he can call me and ask me anything, but he already has learned how to do it. And he knows that the equipment that he's using that sound just as good as anybody else's stuff out there, if not better, and better than the platform that we're talking about. He knew that he didn't have to spend no $2,500 to do something he's already doing. His equipment cost him less than $100. Now, he went on ahead and upgraded his equipment, but then he found another mixing board to expand the number of microphones, and it was less than $200. So he like laughing at this dude. He like, you know, not laughing at him literally, but he was like, this guy is full of, you know what, $2,500, and then you got to come to my house and install this special equipment. And I said to him, you know, he's getting a kickback. I don't know what type of equipment he talking about. I couldn't find it online. But it don't cost no $2,500 to run a radio station online, an internet radio station. It don't cost all that. So he knew the guy. He said he never even got to asking him, well, how much per hour? He said because he knew the guy wasn't on the level with him. And so he told me that this weekend. And I was just interested. So I was like, well, how much traffic are they getting to the website now? I said, also, did he say how many people tuning in to the station? He said he didn't even get that far, because he knew the guy was full of it. So that right there is a scam. And that just made me so angry, because this platform puts itself out there as being a conscious black platform. And talking all this talk about black business building. But you ain't going to build it off the backs of our people, exploiting them, just like these racist crackers did. Haven't our people been through enough? And I hope this person come across this podcast, because I know they're aware of our platform and this program. I ain't got to say your name. You know who you are. That is just so dishonest. I would say you are a crook. And you're making the rest of us out here trying to do things the right way look bad. We're going to lose prospective clients because of their bad experience with you. They'll just give up and go find some white radio station to do business with. This is self-inflicted wounds. That's why I say everybody, what's that old saying? All skin folk ain't kin folk. And we had to stop being emotional. Yeah, we want to support black businesses, but if that black business is not ethical, it's not above board, then you shouldn't get emotional. Anybody you do business with or you go to do business, you should be asking these things. Again, I'm going to stick to internet radio. That's what I know. If an internet radio station manager or owner cannot tell you how many people are tuning in to that stream every month, then you don't need to do business with them. Because the technology is the technology. Now, there is very few different softwares that you can use to manage radio streams. And they give you monthly statistical data. They give you more information than what you will get from a terrestrial radio station, which has to use a third-party service called Arbitron. And it costs a lot of money. I guess that's a matter of perspective. Some of these radio stations owned by these corporations, well, they got the budget to pay for Arbitron to monitor their station. I'm not sure how the technology works. It's proprietary. How do they know how many people are tuned in to a terrestrial station? That means they got a radio that has to pick up a radio signal through the airwaves. That's what we mean when we say terrestrial radio. Digital radio collects its own statistical data. So every device that logs on to a radio stream, everybody that's connected to the internet, whether that's through a smartphone, whether that's through pads, iPads, and tablets, and desktop computers. I don't care if it's a Mac or a PC. They have to have an IP address. And all websites collect that data. So that's how we know how many people visit a website. Well, that's how we know how many people tune into a stream at a minimum. Because that person could be on a desktop computer. That's one IP address, but it's 10 people in the room listening to the station. So at a minimum, they are supposed to tell you how many people are tuned into that station. If they're going to charge you $100 an hour, they better well be able to provide the statistical data to back up and justify why they put that sort of value on their station and charging you that much per hour. If they can't do that, if they should be telling you up front, If that ain't part of the package, I'm going to get monthly statistical reports. If it's podcasting, I'm going to get monthly podcasting statistical reports. If they are not providing that in the package up front and telling you that's what you'll get, so you will know, then you can take that data to your potential advertisers or sponsors and say, hey, this many people tune in to my radio program every month. This is how many IP addresses that are logged into the radio stream when I'm on air. So I'm reaching 10,000 a month. So here's my sponsor package. If you want to be a sponsor, this is how many people you can potentially reach. And we'll run your advertisement until we reach those unique IP addresses. Not the same people who log in and log out or something like that on accounts as a unique IP address after, and it's set by time limit. So if you can't do that, just think about that. If the station can't do that for you, how you gonna do that for your potential sponsors? Don't you think a sponsor should be asking you, well, how many people are you reaching? I want to see the data. I can't just take your word for it now. It's nothing personal. We doing business. So how many people can I potentially reach if I advertise on your network or on your station or on your radio program? And then that person is going to be standing there looking stupid because the radio station that they paying to be on don't provide that data. Wake up, people. I'm not trying to say that people are stupid. I'm not trying to say people are naive. It's just sometimes we get caught up in emotions. Some people just, it's a vanity thing, and I want to talk a little bit about that too. Not so much that they're trying to accomplish something through the radio airways, like pushing an agenda, or whether it's pushing their business, you know, as a extended promotion for their business or for their church services or for their mosque or anything of that sort. You know, a lot of people doing it for vanity. They fall in love with the ideal of being on the radio, and that's all that matters. They're emotional about it. Oh, I always wanted to be on the radio. And then they just will spend money just to be on the radio. No business plan whatsoever. You just throwing money out there for a hobby, because that's what it is. It's a hobby for you. And it can become a very expensive hobby. That's why I was glad that the tax man, Mr. Hassan, I can't remember his name, he was on Blacks in Business Radio on this network Thursday. Come on Thursdays at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. And he shared a lot of great information, and he was saying how people talk about Donald Trump and his business practices, but he didn't break the law in terms of bankruptcies or any tax filings that he took advantage of. All of them do that. That's what I'm told that smart business people do. They take advantage of everything that hey, why should I pay taxes? So anyway, he was saying that you don't have to be wealthy to take advantage of the tax code. You just have to be a business owner. And that can be a sole proprietorship. And that can be an online business that you're running from your home. Whether it is you got an online store and you go to the thrift stores and what have you, and you get the best items, and then you mark up the price and you sell it online. That's a business. Now, you maybe not doing that because you think that you're going to corner the market on the clothing industry with your little small business. No, you're doing it to make a little change and to take advantage of the tax write-offs. Because if you're working for home, that will provide you with a way to reduce your taxes. I mean, people write blogs, but they're not starting businesses. Start a sole proprietorship media company. Doesn't matter if you're paying for the blog or if it's one of the free blogs. It's still a blog. It's still media. You're still publishing articles. You're still publishing your thoughts about whatever. You're still making how-to videos and putting them up there. That's a business. And then you get the little Google AdSense or whatever ad network you're using, and then you hope other people will become sponsors. That's a business. And it's not so much that you're trying to become the next Oprah Winfrey. You're not trying to become the next whoever the big guy is or person is in media, CEO or whatever. No, you're trying to improve your station in life by taking advantage of the things that are within your grasp or taking advantage of without going into a tremendous amount of debt. So I'm glad he did that program. And that's what I meant about people doing these things for vanity. You're spending money every month to produce an online radio program or what have you. But where's your return on your investment? If your return on your investment is a good feeling because you looked at your stats and you had 500 people tune in, I guess that's an emotional investment. I guess you got a return on that. You like being heard, what have you. Well, I'm not going to say anything bad about people like that, but I just think that you can better use your money. Or if you're going to do that, it should be more than just a good feeling. You, your family, and your community should be benefiting from that. If you're going to do it, what better way to make money or take advantage of the tax code by creating a business doing something that you love to do, instead of it just being a hobby where it's just money coming out your pocket? So now you might be saying, well, Scotty, you know, aren't you stopping people from that might spend money with you? You're telling them if you don't have a plan, you just want to be on the radio and hey, aren't you knocking out a potential client or something like that? Well, yeah, that's true. But we're a nonprofit, and I did not do this to make money. Bills do have to be paid. People should be paid for their work. But I want to help people. Malcolm X said media is the most powerful entity on the face of the planet. It controls the minds of the masses. 4 years ago, we started a program called New Abolitionist Radio based on the fact that the 13th Amendment did not abolish slavery. Here we are, 4 years later, and here's a documentary called The 13th, talking about or pointing people to the very thing we've been pointing to for 4 years. So media, if used right, can be a very powerful weapon. You can influence the public, the national, the global conversation. You can do, we've seen it done. We're starting to see words that are spoken on this network, on various programs, or even some of the independent stations that use our services, and we help promote them on our platform. I'm seeing the language that we use become mainstream. Slave catchers. Who calls police slave catchers? So when I hear an NYPD commissioner who's retired now, just retired, tell a bunch of cadets, incoming cadets, that they see us as slave catchers, that every bad thing in history in this country that has happened to black people, the police usually have been involved, whether as slave catchers or... They ain't hearing that nowhere else but here. They're not using that language on CBS, NBC, or so. So that's Malcolm X was exactly right. So this is why I push people to use media. I'm not in this to make money, but I'm not in this to lose money either. So I don't care if we don't get some clients who hear this and get turned off and say, well, I was going to be on your radio station, but you saying that I'm just coming on for the emotional feeling of it, and I don't have a business plan and all this and that, and I'm not taking advantage of it like I should be taking advantage of. Well, they can feel that way, but that's not how I meant it. I'm trying to inform you. Get out your feelings. Get out your emotions. We don't have money to be spending in that manner. I don't want to take anything from anyone. So, we got to get out of that vanity type stuff as consumers. And then that's why we don't ask the questions. We don't. That's how then people are able to take advantage of us. And, oh, $2,500 for this equipment? And I could be on your station? Then later on, when you find out more information about this industry, then you're going to know you was cheated. Then you're going to be feeling real, real bad. And not only that, you're going to be out resources that you could have used, I'm sure you could have used, to support your family or yourself. So when I come across black businesses like that, it just makes me angry. It really makes me angry. But the lack of, what's that old scripture? Eliot and them say it all the time. Our people perish for the lack of knowledge. And in all you're getting, get an understanding. Get an understanding of how this stuff works. Do your research before you jump out there to spend some money. Don't let people take advantage of you, because they out there. And then what really, 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 really made me angry is that these people are playing on black people's emotions about buying black and recycling black dollars and things of that nature. To play on, everybody wants to come together and unify and support their own. That's a natural inclination, or it should be a natural inclination. And then you take advantage of them, you are a piece of you know what. It ain't no about it. You know, I heard some people say, well, I don't do things like everybody else. I got a different way. No, there's an industry standard. There's an industry standard. And if you ain't meeting that standard and you pushing a bunch of outdated technology and websites and all of that, no, I'm looking at you as a shyster. Trying to take advantage of emotional people out there who already got self-esteem issues, already got to deal with the system of racism, and they're turning to a black person because they believe that black person will have their best interest in it, and you take advantage of that. You a piece of you know what. You make me sick. And while I'm not seeing it over the public airwaves, if people contact me privately about these different platforms and ask me my opinion, like they're going to, you know, a doctor, then a doctor, you get a second opinion. Shop around, folks. But if they come to me and they ask me about this and that, I'm going to tell them your name, and I'm going to tell them that you are a shyster. I'm going to tell them that. For legal reasons, because I don't want to get involved in spending no money and no attorneys, I'm not going to say your name on air, but it ain't that many black platforms out there that's producing internet radio. Man, I overshot my break. I'm the one that's feeling kind of emotional because I'm angry. I'm angry that people exist like that out there. I only plan to do an hour today, but I'm going to do more than an hour because this is an important topic that's near and dear to me. So I didn't mean to go over like that and go on that rant, but I just, that's what I'm feeling today and been feeling all weekend after exploring these websites and doing my research on them. And based off of what the people who contacted them to do business with them, what they told those people, it has me very angry. You can't claim to be a conscious person and you out here cheating people, trying to get over, as they say, in the streets. So I'm going to take a station identification break. I'm going to run as long as I have time to run. I was only going to do an hour because we have our monthly statistics to get out. Because at the first of every month in digital radio, the statistics come out. And we are a nonprofit, and people do donate, and that's how we're able to keep our prices low and affordable for those who want to be on our station. So I want to show people their return on investment. They want to see black media reach the masses. This is how we performed over the month. So that's why I was only going to do an hour. I like to get those reports out in a timely fashion, but because I had to manually sort some of the data to separate the programs and group them together and what have you, and then put it out there in a format that they can understand, I do that every month. Every host on this station, every donor to the Black Talk Media Project, they get these monthly statistics. Which reminds me, and I see her on the line, and I thank you for your donation, and you sent me the address, but you did not tell me what size shirts. So if you want to come on air, Jersey girl, and tell me what size shirts you want, and I love the card. Thank you. Love the card. And yeah, I need to know what size shirts you need. Small, medium, large, extra large, and extra extra large. So I need to get that information. You could email it to me as well, because I also need your email address. I need your email address so that you can get your statistical monthly reports, which will be coming out over the next 6 days. I try to get them out by the 5th. But see, I then have our social media accounts. How many people are we reaching on social media? How many people are we reaching through YouTube, Facebook, Twitter? How many people are consuming the propaganda that we're putting out? So that's all I'm saying. If you are, I'm not trying to tear down any other quote unquote competitors out there, but I ain't trying to let you take advantage of people either and give us all a bad name. So again, if these people cannot provide you with that sort of statistical data, which I'll share another story to illustrate that point when we come back from the break and we hear from this caller, because I talked to a client that's on a Atlanta-based internet radio station. I mentioned her earlier. But I want to tell you some things about that platform that is just not a good look on black people for us to be trying to exploit and get over on people. It's just not right. So you're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, and I broadcast every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday and Friday at 4:00 p.m. Eastern time. We're going to take a station identification break, come back and pick up on the phone lines. The telephone number to get in on the conference line is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. Hit *6 and 1 if you'd like to comment on air. I'm still working on replacing our studio line because it was tied to Skype, a 7-digit number. I'm still working on that. But I'm making some progress. But yes, let me get that number out again, because some people say I give it out too fast, but because they're not on the platform and they can't see the number. It's 641-715-3660. 549-032-POUND. Again, 549-032-POUND. Hit *6 and 1. That'll put you in the caller's queue. We'll be back on the other side.
The Black Talk Media Project funds the use of new media technology in efforts to restore independent Black voices to the myriad of issues affecting Afro-descendant people all over the planet. If media can control the minds of the masses, as Malcolm X once said, then you must ask yourself, who is in control of the media targeting the masses of Black people today? Help bring back independence, self-determination, and respect for Black culture in the production of global media by joining the effort to crowdfund new Black media for the new millennium. Visit blacktalkmediaproject.org for more information on how you can invest in public Black radio for the masses.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed in on this broadcast from behind the enemy lines that I call USA Inc. So let me jump to the phone lines before I just give the other example of this so-called Black business trying to take advantage of somebody. I was contacted by a young lady earlier today and had a conversation. I had a chance to check out the platform she was on. And again, I mean, it is just ridiculous what some people are trying to get over on other people. So let me go to this phone line. 423, you are on Black Talk Radio News with Scotty Reed. Go ahead with your question and comment.
First of all, how you doing today, Scotty?
I'm doing okay. Just a little bit angry, that's all. I don't know if you can tell. I shouldn't say angry. I'm just kind of frustrated.
I understand. I've dealt with that particular entity what you're speaking of, and just to clear up a few things, you know, what that piece of equipment that he is talking about is, he says it's called a codex, which I tried to look it up and I couldn't find it either for $2,500. You know, I wanted to know what type of equipment that was being used, and I think it's like $500 a month for hour slot on a Saturday. It's the information that was given to me. And unlike the other person who was talking to him, I wanted to just see how long he was going to go while he was trying to feed me this BS, you know, because I had done some business with these people prior, and it took a while for me to get what I had paid for. So when he approached me with this, I already knew It was some sucker moves going on within the conversation, but me being the person I am, I just like to hear how far somebody will go. So yeah, you are exactly right. I've talked about this, doing like you do, not actually calling the names, but just telling people to beware of these type of scams, you know, because a lot of us come in trying to support Black businesses, have our hearts in the right places, and a lot of times if we don't have all of that information, we tend to get misused and then end up angry, you know, not just frustrated, angry, you know, that type of stuff make you want to do something to people because you feel you being left felt like you just somebody done stole something from you.
It's not, you know, felt. I would say in that particular case we're talking about, they did steal from you. Not that you not in your feelings. They are stealing from you.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it, like, and like you stated earlier, it's one of those situations to where it make you side eye everybody else that you come in contact with, because you have to have that in the back of your mind is, I can't let this person get me like the last person got me. And right. I know you take falls when you're trying to do your own business and you trying to do something that you believe in your heart that you are making a difference, but you always have somebody trying to drop the anvil over your head while you making your moves. So not only are you carrying your own weight, but you carrying somebody else's too. And most of us don't even know it when we're carrying somebody else's weight because we don't have the information. And you're giving out a lot of great information. I hope don't nobody feel like you. You always give out great information. I normally tune in to the. I don't get to get this program because I still be at work. Unfortunately, I ain't been able to get my own business off the ground like that yet. But I listen to y'all on Tando, and I get new ideas every time I listen to the show. So I appreciate you, Scotty, and I'm gonna sit back and finish listening to the show, man.
All right, I really appreciate that because I don't want people. I'm not
Q&A
doing this.
Q&A is cleared
again to pump up our business, and I don't even really. Yeah, I do look at it as a business, even though it's a nonprofit. And I started the nonprofit to help other black people get into media, mass media, because that is why our people are so misinformed. I can point you to the 1996 Telecommunications Act, and that was the beginning of the decline of black ownership in media in general and radio stations specifically. So it's a reason why our people, a lot of our people, not all of our people, but a lot of our people are running around like they blind, deaf, and dumb. Well, that's for a reason. It's because of the people, it's the information that's being fed to them, and they don't know any better, and they are victims. But I do have to run it like a business in order for us to survive. To keep going and to help more people and reach more people and what have you. So, but when I'm not looking to steal any clients they may have, or that's why I'm not mentioning their names. That in addition, I don't want to get caught up in no legal stuff, even though I can prove what I'm saying. You can try to take me to court for slander all you want to, but I can back it up with the evidence. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to put your name out there unless somebody asks me privately. But I'm telling you, they could do their own research. Now, again, if we're talking about a radio platform, there are two sets of statistics that you want. You want to know what their website ranking is globally and in the United States. Now, we don't expect independent run black media, especially that doesn't have multi-million dollar budgets to pay for all this advertisement, and we don't expect them to be in the top 10 of all websites in the world. I'm not even sure how many websites are actually active out there. 100 million, 200, a half a billion websites. I know it's a lot. So you want to look up that information. You can go to alexa.com. That's alexa.com. It's owned by Amazon, which is a big mover and shaker in web hosting and all things internet. They do more than just sell products. They sell business services as well. The cloud storage and all of that. What you could host a website or build a platform. And so that is an independent analytic tool that you can use, that you can look up. And there's others out there. You just got to look for them. And you plug in the website address, and it will give you that. It'll tell you, some Alexa will tell you what's the average time somebody spend on the site. How many pages are they looking at? What's the bounce rate? The bounce rate means that they just saw one page and they bounced. And a high bounce rate ain't good. That means that they read that particular article and they didn't see nothing else that piqued their interest, so they didn't read another article or they didn't visit another section of the website. So it'll give you the bounce rate. So all of this information is out there. It's free. If you want to get deeper into the analytics, you can pay for their premium services and you can research all these, because that's how the industry works. You think these web platforms don't do surveillance on the other platforms to see what they're doing and where they're spending money. I mean, I was surprised that they could get that kind of information. So you want to know how much traffic they're getting. If Alexa tell you not enough data, and they're ranked something like 10 million in the world, and they can't share all the other statistics with you, that tells you not a lot of people are visiting that website. Now, we're talking about a digital radio stream. That's another set of statistics. How many people tuned into the radio station? So I had this black woman call me from Atlanta. Well, first she sent an email from our website, Black Talk Media Project, on the business services page. So I think it's called business service, might be media service. Anyway, she sent in an email. She was asking me for more information. She left a phone number if I could call her. So I called her. So she's on this internet-based radio station. I'm not going to say its name either, even though most people probably never heard of it. But so I wanted to say, before I would let her come on, say, yes, we'll accept you on our station, I got to check out your content first. Because actually yesterday, a white person contacted me to get a black conservative named Rod Echols, and I've known about him from some years when he started on Blog Talk Radio. And I think he's still stuck on Blog Talk Radio, but they simulcast his program on some of these right-wing, racist, conservative websites. So he's that kind of black person. And they're going to contact me asking me how much to be on Black Talk Radio. I was like, I'm sorry, Mr. Echols, I'm aware of him. All those people that you were just saying, he's had wonderful guests on, like Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Who else did they mention? Sheriff David Clark. And I was like, wonderful guests. I was like, you know, if you had actually listened to the programming on our station as you said you did, apparently you didn't, or you wouldn't be contacting me about Mr. Echols being on Black Talk Radio. So I don't care if they gonna spend money. I ain't on here just to make money. That is not why I started this platform. So I turned them down. So I checked out her stuff. And so I found that the website from which she's broadcasting, or this station is, first of all, it is, again, looks like a website a 13-year-old would build in the 1990s. Just one page, looked like they just copy and pasted some code, and it's ugly. It's just ugly. All right. Now, ugly, you know, it's not all about being pretty and all that. It's more about being functional and what have you. But in this game, cosmetics do help. Do help. Having a clean store helps, right? So, you know, you want to have a clean-looking website. It don't want to look dirty, meaning that it just looked like a kid threw this together, although some kids probably could do a better job than that because they know to use WordPress content management system. They know to use Joomla. They know to use Mambo. Okay? So I go to the website. There's no podcast. I can't listen to any of her past programs. Then I'm having trouble even finding out the live schedule because the website ain't working right. So I find her Twitter handle. I do a search of her show, and I find her Twitter handle. So I look at her Twitter account, the things that she's tweeting about, and this is a conscious black woman who cares about the black community. I can tell that from her programming. This is before I even talked to her on the phone, because I wouldn't even called her. I would have sent her an email and said that your content does not fit with the content or the programming that our listeners come to value on this station. Now, if you want to hire me, hire us to build you your own platform, and yeah, we'll do that. But in terms of Black Talk Radio Network, it was set up for a specific reason. And this station was launched for a specific reason. So we just because you got money don't mean that you gonna get on this station. So then I contacted her. And she was telling me that she was looking for another home, a radio home, because the radio station she's on is ratchet. That's her words. And you can tell the ratchetness, what she was talking about, by looking at the website. So she said that she felt out of place, and she had seen some of, I guess she follows us on Twitter, our Twitter feed. So she saw some of the titles that she said they were conscious. They were talking about conscious black things, and that led her to the network. So that's why she contacted us and said that she would feel more at home on Black Talk Radio than she would on that current platform, but that she has to give them 30-day notice because she's on a contract. And so she's looking at launching her program on our network in January. So then I started telling her, well, she asked me for the rates. That's all she wanted to know was how much it costs. But in addition to telling her what our hourly rate is, I told her, and we will provide you with monthly statistics on how many people are tuning in to your program, the live stream when you're live, and then when you're not live and we don't have any other live programming on, we do upload it to our station, and Auto DJ is playing something 24/7. So you're going to have some additional listens that way. Not only that, we're recording your program and we're going to upload it to our platform as a podcast. You will have your own profile page. You will have an RSS feed that will hold your podcast. We send out daily podcast statistics. Yes, I know I'm late with today's daily podcast statistic. I try to get them out in the morning. I'll get them out tonight. You'll get that, and then at the end of the month, you'll find out the total number of not only listeners to the radio station, but how many people downloaded your podcast. And we'll also distribute it through other platforms like TuneIn and Stitcher. And because it's still, we're going to know how many people downloaded the podcast no matter where it comes, no matter where they downloaded it at, because the podcast is hosted on our platform. So I told her all of that up front, and she was kind of taken aback. She was like, now, when I asked them for station statistics, they couldn't give me any. I don't know. I didn't ask her what she was paying, how long the contract was for. I told her, we don't do contracts. Your contract is on a month to month. When you pay your invoice, that's your contract. For however many times that we agreed, how many hours we agreed that you would be on at what time slot. They told her that they didn't have that information, that they couldn't provide her that information. So then I'm looking for the radio stream, the media player. I'm like, where's the media player? And it's like, listen live and what have you. So she told me her program came on today at 3 o'clock. So I was like, going to check it out. They don't have a radio stream. They have a Ustream channel. Now, I know Ustream, it's been a while since I've been on Ustream, because I check out every platform because I want to know the technology. I want to know how it works. I'm doing my research. And I don't know how much, if they had a broadcaster's account, if they was paying for it or whatever. All I know is, first of all, I never got to program the stream. It came on and then the screen froze. I know it ain't Ustream. It's on the producer's end in their studio. And I was like, wow, this don't even work. And then they don't even have their own. They don't have a digital radio stream. They're streaming on Ustream. And they charging this woman and holding her to a contract? Hell, she can do that by herself. But again, I'm not blaming people for not knowing what they don't know. But we gotta start doing our research. We gotta start going to different platforms before we make a final decision and hear what the people are telling us. So I feel like she's being taken advantage of. Do I got an issue with them using Ustream? No, but you should have your own radio stream, or else you're not doing the radio. You're not digital radio. And that's why you can't provide her with the statistical data that I'm going to provide her because you're using Ustream. All you can tell her is the viewers. You can't tell her how long they tuned in for, how many hours were consumed. You can't tell her that. How many of them were unique listeners or viewers, if we're talking about Ustream. I ain't got a problem with people using the enemy stuff, but don't act like you got your own and you using theirs. We just recently started using YouTube to simulcast our live stream. We always had a YouTube channel that I would upload videos to and what have you. And pretty soon we'll be hitting 3 million views on our YouTube channel. I think I launched that YouTube channel in 2008. But I only recently started streaming the radio programs to YouTube. I don't pay for that. And I don't charge the clients for that. That's something extra. That's to distribute black content to as many people as possible. And we got, 5,000 maybe subscribers on YouTube? Well, I'm sure that they are not following Black Talk Radio on YouTube for no reason. So they would be interested in us streaming the radio program live. So I'm utilizing that. I would, if YouTube was charging for that, well, it depends on how much they charge before I say I wouldn't use it. But since they are free, I'm do like the art of war. You double your resources when you can utilize your enemy's resources. Now, I'm not saying YouTube or Google, which owns YouTube, those people are my enemy, but I think conscious black folks know what I'm talking about. So I'm not saying that it's anything wrong with utilizing free platforms, but don't be charging people when they could do it themselves. If they take the time to learn it. There are all kind of tutorials on YouTube. We got tutorials on YouTube. My first year in existence, I was doing nothing but making videos showing people the things that I was learning. Because although I've been in web development for a while and internet radio's been around for a while, I didn't really get exposed to it until 2007. But because of my background, it was easy for me to pick up on. So I want to show other people what I'm doing, because what is my mission? My mission, or our mission as a nonprofit, is to support the creation, the production, and the elevation of independent black voices. I ain't talking about the black voices where we got these celebrities who made their mark in the world telling jokes on a stage somewhere, and then they come out and they write a book and they on CBS or some white owned platform. That is not an independent black voice. That's a black voice that's on a white platform, and they are only going to be allowed to quote unquote keep it real. And when I ain't talking about the ratchet keep it real, I'm talking about keeping it real on these issues with our people. They can only go so far. Y'all see what happened to Michael Basedon when he was just playing. And I used to listen to Michael Basedon too, because I was doing construction. Me and my brother was doing construction for the same company, and we would listen to Michael Basedon on the way home. And he plays some great old school hip hop. I'm a fan of music and what have you. Now, when he was just doing that, just playing music and giving out, I guess, station approved information, he was cool. He top radio, one of the top black radio programs in the nation. Soon as that black man started bringing on people that I know, I will tell you, what's her name? Nancy. Oh man, what's Nancy's last name? I forget her last. Lockhart, I believe. Nancy Lockhart, yeah. Who did a great job as an advocate to get the Scott sisters out of prison, wrongfully convicted down there in Mississippi. When he had her on his program, That was it. It wasn't too much longer that he was off air. He was talking about the Gina Six. He was talking about the Scott Sisters. He was talking about Trayvon. He was talking about black issues. Real black issues. Not about strawberry letters and all that stuff. Everything has its place. But when you got a huge audience like that, you need to be taking advantage of that to give them stuff that they can act on that's going to help improve them, not just entertain them. When Michael Bayston started promoting these black events, that is when Michael Bayston got kicked off. I think he was on either ABC or carried by CBS radio at the time. He was gone. He was off the air. Now, you might still be able to pick him up in some markets. I don't know. But he does not have that national profile like he had, I would say, 10 years ago when I first, you know, came across his program. So, hey, we got a call. Let me go take this call. I'm just free-flowing today. I usually try to keep it some structure and play my breaks when I'm supposed to play them, but we just free flowing today, freestyling. Area code 719, you're on Black Talk Radio News. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Good afternoon, Brother Scotty. It's Ramon from 719.
Hey, peace to you, Brother Ramon.
Hey, how you doing, sir? I like the freestyle thing you're doing today. I think I might have needed it more than anybody. Hey, man, I just want to encourage you with what you're doing. And, you know, for anybody listening, I would definitely ask them to really consider, you know, at the highest level what you're saying, that it's very important that we, you know, be cautious about where we're putting our dollars at. I had a conversation with one of the BTR members over the weekend, and we were talking about storefront, you know, some not tell the black-owned companies here in town that I will shop with. I've said to some of them just in purchasing that, you know, I'd love to do business with you, and I'd love to come back if you give me a reason to keep coming back. So when you brought up that storefront thing, I think that's very important. I know we as a people don't have the luxury, or sometimes we just don't have the money, but then sometimes I realize that ain't always the case. Some people just really don't want to put money into bringing forth the right clientele to their establishment.
Reinvesting in their business, I think is what you... Exactly. I don't mean to interrupt you or put words in your mouth, but that's what's coming in my mind. They're not improving it to make it more attractive and give the client or customer greater value.
Oh, you hit it right on the head. The return on their investment, you know, they don't want to do that, put it back into the business. And something else I noticed about some of us, and I ain't going to say all of us, but, it puts me out there to have to think about it. But I noticed some of us that will make it right here in the neighborhood or whatever, when they get an opportunity to relocate like downtown or something, all of a sudden that mom and pop's look that they kept in the neighborhood, they'll all of a sudden then they want to throw, you know, that beautiful, you know, the Broadway and Fifth Avenue look on their services, you know, which I think is kind of telling of what type of people they must be, because I feel like if we put all that money into you while you was just a mom and pops with them little Walmart, you know, stickers that, you know, letters that they stick up on the window and say, you know, we do barbecue or whatever, we would come in when you were doing it then all of a sudden you get a little attention and you get a spot downtown or somewhere where the money is, and you all of a sudden you got a sign that, you know, you want to put the money into it. So I definitely appreciate you putting that out there. And I know this is not your style, and it really ain't mine, but it's one of those days that I heard somebody on the... I don't even like mentioning their names, but I feel like this is one time I got to say something. You know, when people start saying that, you know, particularly Karen Hunter, if I'm going to pay for these subscriptions, and I don't even listen over there at Urban View no more, especially since I found here. But when people start getting on the air and bashing us, saying that, well, you know, black folk have gotten lazy, I really get offended with this type of nonsense, because I'm just like, why do you want to be on a station called Urban View talking about how we get lazy or we've been lazy, and, you know, not really describing the root of what's really going on, and how we, if we are lazy, I, you know, at least tell the people how we ended up getting forced into a lazy position. You know, just hearing them just wanting to promote this one-sided slanted agenda about, oh, you know, why would we want an orange Cheeto and all this and that. It's like, man, I don't even understand what your argument is, because you're asking me, like somebody said, and I think it might have been you, or somebody said, do you want to be stabbed to death or shot? I'm like, man, that is not even, you know, an option.
Yeah, I said that, you know, about so, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. That's,
I'm like, what kind of option is that? You know, so, you know, when I hear these people over here think, and then what gets me is to have the title Urban View and all that stuff, man. You know, the people that pay good money, like myself, I bought a brand new car, and we ended up purchasing that crappy subscription. And I'm like, man, you ain't talking nothing that's got anything to do with us. And the minute somebody like yourself or me call up there and want to just bring up something to enlighten people, first thing they do is shut us down, you know. And I just said, man, this is getting really out of hand here. You know, black on black crime ain't in the streets being shot down. It's right here at this level of what you're talking about, because there's too many of them out there helping to keep us looking like fools, or making people think that we got some type of lifetime oath to a particular party. And I'm gonna mute my line, Scotty. Thanks a lot, brother, and keep it up, man. Keep your eyes on the mail, because I'm walking in the store right now to grab what me and you talked about.
All right, Ramon. All thanks right, again, bro.
Q&AQ is cleared.
Yeah, and so I appreciate the commentary from the guests and what have you. And again, this is not me bad-mouthing other black businesses. This is me protecting black businesses and asking those who consume from black businesses to protect yourself so you don't get gypped out your money, you don't get scammed, and then you don't never want to do business with another black person again. Because you don't trust them because of that one bad experience. Well, you shouldn't have that attitude. You should just chalk it up to a learning experience. And you got me once, but you won't get me again. Chalk it up to a learning experience, but don't hold that against the next black business. Base your opinions on people based off of your individual experiences, and not just with one person. Again, there are unscrupulous people out there that are trying to get over. You don't have to help them get over on you. So I'm not chiding people. I'm just saying, do more research. Somebody offers you something, and like they say, sometimes if it sounds too good to be true, it might be not true. If they can't back up what they're telling you with any kind of hard data, if they can't show you what you're getting, then you taking it on faith. Well, I don't have that kind of faith. I expressed faith when I first did business with you, and then you burned me, so I'm not going to be burned again. I'm going to do my research on the companies that I do business with. So anybody, we're a state nonprofit. You can look us up, Black Talk Media Project, registered with the state of North Carolina. You can go look us up. And while I don't pay to be part of the, what they call it, the Better Business Bureau, still people can write in complaints. So we have to do our research on people. We just can't take their word for it. You have to have evidence of their word. They should be able to point you to their work so that you can judge based off of that work, if that's the person that you want to hire for whatever you hiring them from. But again, I'm speaking to black businesses owners out there. We have to be above board. We have to deal with people, any people, let alone our own people. We have to deal ethically with people, because it's more than just our individual reputations at stake. It's our collective reputation at stake here. So you may think that your victim is only that one person you done scammed. No, your victims go further than that. Because now that person won't recycle black dollars because of what you did. So now I'm a victim. So that's all I wanted to talk about. I'm not going to belabor that point anymore. There was something else that I wanted to go over. Some of the news of the day. It is open forum day. Lots of great information posted in btrcommunity.com. I'm just happy that people are being active and they're using it what it was set up for, and that is for us to have a place, a safe digital space where we can share information and not be worried about Black Talk Media Project exploiting your information and selling your information to these marketing companies or making you use your real name. Maybe you don't want to use your real name because maybe you got a job and you can't freely express yourself because you know your boss is a racist Republican and he only hired you because he had to meet a quota or something like that, and he really don't like black people. So, you know, if you want to keep that job, you may not want to be making your political views, your social views known on a social media platform. And so you want to share your thoughts. I mean, it's natural to want to share your thoughts and discuss these things. But if you're putting yourself at risk because they're forcing you to use your real name, then you need to consider those risks. People are losing their jobs off of what they post to social media. That won't happen on BTR Community. And, you know, that's on you. First of all, you don't have to share the information. You can make your stuff private to where only people that's members of the site can see it, or only those in your friend list can see it. But I hope that you would trust me better than you trust Mark Zuckerberg. So some good information posted on btrcommunity.com. It is a subscriber-based network, ad-free. But let me share this article with you that I came across and I wrote. I'm trying to squeeze in a little bit more writing on my part. I used to write for several platforms a few years ago. And I just, as Black Talk Radio Network has grown, I just haven't really had time to write like I used to. But I did write an article. Well, I've actually written a couple of things this week, but I'm going to go to the member blog section on blacktalkradionetwork.com. And there was an article that I wrote about this racist woman trying to frame Black Lives Matter for a fake home invasion. And the only reason that I find this to be worthy writing about is because this is a slave catcher's wife. All right, a slave catcher's wife. Her husband is a police officer in this little town in Millbury, Massachusetts. And let's put her name out there, Maria Daly. Her name is Maria Daly. She lives in Millbury, Massachusetts. So she stands accused of faking a home invasion and then even spray painting her own house with the letters BLM. And then even took to social media and was talking about this made up imaginary home invasion and telling people what happened to her. And I was like, this is crazy, man. This is crazy. But it's normal. It's normal that we see people doing that, because there was a white police officer, a female, who I don't know how she got shot, but she blamed a black man. And come to find out, it wasn't no black man that she made the thing up. So this happens more than we might know. But I was like, why do they want to try to connect the umbrella group BLM, which is a hashtag, started off as a hashtag on social media during the Ferguson Rebellion. Then the inventors of that hashtag that started to create an organization called Black Lives Matter. And it's not even that large. But now it's like they speak for all black people or something. And I'm not saying anything against them, but since these racists think that they represent the views of all black people, then they practice racism against them and target them. And this is unjust. Black Lives Matter is a victim here. They're a victim. So I wrote about that, and what really kind of pissed me off is that she's only facing charges for filing a false police report and misleading a police investigation. Considering that she is a, can we call her a confirmed racist? Because somebody on commented on the article when it was sent out to Facebook, said suspected. So I'm like, yeah, she got a point there. I think this is an act of a racist. We can confirm that she's not just a suspect anymore. So, but they only charged her with misleading the police and filing a false police report. It seems like there should be some hate crime charges involved, since this was an act of racism against black people in general. I mean, when they make up an imaginary black person that broke in their house, and she's on whatever social media platform she was on and saying, oh, they had such hatred in their eyes and they hated us for no reason. I mean, like, wow, that's a hate crime. That's a crime against the entire, that's a crime against every black person on the planet, and specifically every black person in that town. How many people, black men, have been lynched behind white women telling lies? This is a serious crime, and they're not treating it very serious. Like a person who commented on the article asked, and I believe that might have been, I'm not sure who this is. Yeah, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Johnson said the motive was money. And I'll let y'all listen to the report. The motive was money. And I'm sure she filed a false insurance claim by now. Where are the insurance fraud charges? Criminally, she attempted to start a riot. A K-9 officer works at night. Where was he? So they're trying to say he had nothing to do with it. He was on the job as a slave catcher with his slave catcher dog. And they've cleared him and said he ain't have anything to do with it. But they do say money was the motive. Let me go ahead and just let y'all listen to this clip from a CBS affiliate station. I believe it is a CBS affiliated station out of Millbury, Massachusetts. It's probably going to play an ad. But go ahead and cue that up for you and let you take a listen. This is just disgusting, typical behavior of racists, in my opinion. This woman is a racist, and she should be facing hate crime charges. I think they do. Yeah, they do. I looked it up. They have hate crime crime enhancements.
Facing charges. I'm Leah Martin.
I'm Lisa Hughes, and tonight for Paula, investigators say the woman lied about a break-in and vandalism at her home, and money problems were the motive. WBZ's Jim Smith is live with the story in Millbury tonight. Jim?
Liam and Lisa, tonight police here in Millbury tell me that right from the start, this story just did not seem like it was adding up, and now it has come to this: criminal charges.
There was no intruder. There was no burglary.
A difficult day for Millbury police, the wife of one of their own officers facing charges. It all began back on October 17th when Maria Daly reported a burglary at the family home. Jewelry and money stolen. She also said the house was tagged with graffiti, possibly referencing the Black Lives Matter movement. Now, police say they've determined the entire account was false.
This case initially came to our attention. I didn't think something wasn't quite right. I think that was pretty obvious. And as a result of that, the investigation, the officers did their due diligence and followed through with the information that we had. And based on that, we came to that conclusion. Ultimately, what happened, that it was all fabricated.
Just after she filed the report, Daly took to social media saying, "We woke up to not only our house being robbed while we were sleeping, but to see this hatred for no reason." The chief says Daly's husband, Officer Daniel Daly, was not involved in the deception and has been exonerated. It's a story generating plenty of reaction in town.
She must have tagged the place herself. I don't know why you'd do that. You gotta have, if you're gonna stage a robbery, I mean, really? Come on. You're a cop's wife. You should know better.
And tonight, Maria Daly faces charges of filing a false police report and also misleading a police investigation. She is due in court at a later date. Live at Millbury Police Headquarters tonight, Jim Smith, WBZ News.
And so under the rules of fair use, we just shared that clip with you from CBS, and that was the report that they put out on this. Again, this is a hate crime, in my opinion. This is a hate crime. Who knows? This slave catcher could have went out there, since her husband a slave catcher. He might have took it out on some unsuspecting black person out there. You know, and it's not often that I will commend slave catchers, but I will commend the Millbury Police Department on this one for not falling for the lies and doing their due diligence and doing a proper investigation and finding out that this woman is a filthy, racist liar. This is why we got to be careful out there. This is why I'm saying we live on a battlefield. You don't know what lie some racist person then told, and you just driving down the street, and next thing you know, you fit a description. It happens too often. This is very serious. She should be facing more serious crimes than what she's facing. I think the original report did, the written report, not the video. I think this may be a felony level type thing, so I don't know how much prison time it might carry, but I think that she should be charged with doing a self home invasion. Whatever a home invasion charge carries, that's what she should be facing. But again, Massachusetts has hate crime enhancements. I looked it up. But again, her white privilege is aiding her in her criminality. She is basically getting a slap on the wrist, and since she's a slave catcher's cop, she probably won't do no jail time, even if she is found guilty. They will probably just give her probation and community service and not treat this as the serious crime that it is. Again, this is a crime against all black people, in my opinion. So, let me see, what else do we have to share? You might notice I'm not even talking about politics, man. That whole circus right there, I tell you. I did go and vote, so let me tell you a little story about when I went to do early voting. Saturday morning, I went to Mount Holly, North Carolina. That's where the early voting site was, one of them. So I went to go early vote. I was like, man, let me get up and out here. The polls open at 10. I need to be out there by 9. Because I don't want to be stuck in no long lines or anything, because I had been hearing through news media reports that early voting in North Carolina has hit records in this county that I live in. So I was like, let me get out there early. So I got out there. I was like number 13 in line, and we stood there, and it didn't take long for that line to be out the building and snaking around the corner. And when my mom went to vote, she said that she did not see any other black people. But I was like, well, that don't mean they not voting. But I went and I saw more than a few black faces. But we do live in an area that is 80%+ white. So obviously a bunch of white people were out there. And some of the dirty looks I was getting from some of them white males, I was like, man, you can act a fool if you want to up in here, because I am not the one. Okay, you can let Donald Trump walk you into a behind whooping if you want to, but you better not say nothing to me. So thankfully, they did not. They gave me their little dirty looks, and they looked elsewhere, so I can handle that. So anyway, then I hear that the system is down. So the system was down. Now, we don't have that kind of electronic voting in my county with the touch screens and what have you. You have a paper ballot, you fill it out, and you put it in this machine that reads it, and I'm assuming that it sends the data to the election commission here in the county, but they lost their connection to the internet, had to be doing it over the internet, and it was down for an hour. So I was like, wow, man, wow. Now, one thing, as I was waiting, I did not leave, but as I was waiting, I saw this Hispanic family that was walking to get in the back of the line. Then I seen this white male go up to them and say something to them, and they left. Now, I'm looking at this, and I'm like, I wonder what he told them people and why they turned around and left. Because I had been hearing the reports about these Trump people and these so-called oath keepers who don't know the meaning of keeping a doggone oath. They violate their oath to the Constitution in their practice of racism every day. So I'm thinking, okay, this don't look right. But again, I wasn't going to go out there. If I had been there in the back of the line and could have heard the conversation, if he'd have told them some wrong information, I would have said something. But I'm inside the building, they're outside the building, so I don't know what he told them, but they left. That kind of stood out to me. Then I get in there, I get my ballot, and Jill Stein and the only people on the ballot was Gary Johnson for president, that is. Gary Johnson for the Libertarian Party. Hillary Clinton for the Democrats. And Donald Trump for the Republicans. And then the fourth one was a write-in. So I wrote in Jill Stein's name. Again, I think that the CEO of USA Inc. is not decided by the people, but is decided by the people in power. And we are not in power. The corporations are, and they do everything in their power to make sure their puppet gets in. And they also have a thing called control opposition. I believe Donald Trump is the control opposition. That's the worst person that they could find that would make Hillary Clinton look competent. And she's very incompetent. Very racist herself in her patterns and practices, looking at her history. But here's Donald Trump as an uncodified racist. So I feel like that whole thing is set up. So it didn't matter to me who that, you know. So I wrote in Jill Stein's name. I'm not going to play along with their game and pick who they want me to pick, because I know they're probably going to steal it anyway. So I just wrote in Jill Stein. The ones I was concerned about was getting these Republicans out of office, whether it's as a senator or as a House member of the state legislature, and also getting them Republicans out of the judicial branch of North Carolina. There was quite a few black judges, not to say that these black judges are not proxies and are going to practice justice, but I would feel more comfortable with them in place than these racist crackers, mostly males, in doing the stuff that they've been doing all these years. So, yeah. Though those are the only offices or positions that I was really there going to vote for. So I wrote in Jill Stein's name, right? So I get there. There's a lady feeding hers into the ballot. There's a attendant at the machine. And so the lady who's ahead of me, she feeds her into it. So you got to wait. So I noticed that this white woman who's the attendant is looking at my ballot. So I then press my ballot against my chest. So then I go and feed my ballot in there. And then once it tells me that it read it, I go to turn. She goes to hand me the little sticker. But the look in her freaking eye, I mean, she was looking at me like I had stabbed somebody. Now, I can only surmise that this was a Hillary Clinton supporter. Because if it was a Donald Trump supporter, I don't think they would have expected me to vote for Donald Trump. Okay, I don't think I don't have no way of knowing this, but I'm just reading her eyes and her demeanor towards me versus her demeanor towards the person in front of me. I think that this woman was pissed off because I wrote in Jill Stein's name. And I laughed and I said thank you and I kept walking. So I thought that was pretty interesting. There's probably going to be a bunch of pissed off people because black people won't do what they want them to do. And we have independent minds and we're going to think independently. Like I told that white woman who contacted me about having this black proxy racist conservative come on Black Talk Radio, is you can't put us in a box. We're not liberals. We're not conservatives. We're not Democrats. We're not Republicans. We're black people. And our station is about the liberation of black people. So Mr. Echols is not about the liberation of black people. He's about the Republican Party and the conservative agenda. So no, he does not fit in with us. So they get mad. Other black people will even get mad at you when you don't go along with the Donald Trump is the worst person ever. Is he? Because I can think of quite a few people who's done some pretty heinous things. Hell, I could just look at his opponent who murdered in an entire country on her word. She argued for it. Obama claims that he was against the invasion of Libya, or I should say the bombing of Libya. He said he was against it, but he relied on his advisors. From other communications, we know that was Hillary Clinton, because the Pentagon was arguing against bombing out Libya. So I don't know if he passing a buck or what, but I've always said that woman, she don't work for him. He worked for her. I don't even know why I know, for her support after he beat her in the primaries. But if a woman had called for my assassination, you think I'm going to make her a part of my administration? If a woman has run a racist campaign against me, you think I'm going to make her part of my administration? No. So, I mean, it's even black people who will get mad at you when you say I'm not voting for Hillary Clinton either. Both of them are racist. Both of them present a clear and present danger to all black life on the planet. So, you know, that's what I like to stress, though, man. We have to not always go along with the program, and we have to become independent thinkers. We have to analyze these things in all people activity areas. Again, I know there's people who don't vote, and that's okay. They working in other areas. They don't see the value in voting. I do. On a local level, I see that value. That's why ain't nobody been found dead in our jail. Well, that one dude did kill his. He tried to kill himself when he jumped off the second tier of the jail onto his head, onto a concrete floor, trying to kill himself. But we're not getting, long as I have lived in this county, and I did move to Detroit for a while, and I was a child, and then I was away for 6 years in the military. But in during all that time, not one single person has been murdered by these jailers, by these slave catchers in the jails. That ain't happening. So that means that sheriff is not tolerating the beating of prisoners. And I've been in that jail in my family, and I'm not talking about as a visitor either. I have been locked up in that jail. Never spent 24 hours. I was always out. But I've had cousins, people I went to school with in that jail. And they did not mistreat us. So I might want to keep that sheriff in that position and not allow his opponent, because I don't know what I'm going to get. Then all of a sudden, next thing we know, we're hearing about people being found dead, hanging in a cell, like Sandra Bland or something like that. So that's why I vote. That's why I vote. But in terms of the CEO of USA Inc., I don't think we have a say in that. I might be wrong, but from the past elections I have participated in, though the CEO position has been stolen, George Bush twice. Maybe they allowed President Obama without any kind of voting shenanigans, because we didn't hear it. Think about that. When President Obama was running, we didn't hear all this stuff about vote flipping, did we? We didn't hear about all these problems. I don't recall, like they're saying about this election, or like they said about the two times that George Bush ran. We didn't hear about that happening with Barack Obama. That could be for a number of reasons. Perhaps because of the record turnout that kind of overwhelmed the system and they couldn't manipulate it without really being obvious. So maybe those were clean elections, but already this election is not clean. It's already been rigged, people. You should know that when they cheated Bernie Sanders. You got the emails. And that disgusting black woman, Donna Brazile, the stuff that is coming out now that she was doing, she ain't all about nobody but herself, about getting paid. And I picked that up on when she was on CNN one night, and she was talking about she a super delegate, and I'm going to get love, love, love. I know what that means. You looking for some payout. That's what you looking for. You looking for promises of butter biscuits. That's what you doing. So this woman don't speak for us. She don't work for us. She all about herself. But what I'm saying is that the Democratic primary was rigged. Therefore, this election is rigged. So it don't matter, though, in terms of myself and people who look like me. Who becomes the next CEO of USA Inc.? Like H.Rap Brown said, all those years ago in the 60s when they asked him about Dick Gregory running for president, Richard Nixon, and Spiro Agnew, to name some of the candidates that was running for president or the nomination when he was giving that interview in the 60s. And he said, regardless of who becomes president, black people going to have to fight because that person will represent the state. And that's what we don't get. That's what some of us, a lot of us, too many of us, don't get. When we have a principled black person in politics come along like a Cynthia McKinney, you see what they did to her. They sabotaged her reelection and even ran somebody against her. I'm talking about her own party ran a primary challenger against her. That ain't normally what goes on. That normally does not happen when you have an incumbent like that. They usually, you know, the party gets behind the incumbent. They don't get behind the challenger. But that's what they did to Cynthia McKinney because she showed too much self black respect for herself and black people in general. She wouldn't shake the hand of that criminal George Bush one time when he went to go shake her hand and she didn't want to, you know, shake his hand. She acknowledged him, but she didn't want to shake his hand. So they got her out of there. So that's all I'm saying. I do vote, but I don't necessarily believe that the people are choosing the CEO of USA Inc. I just don't believe that's happening. I believe the powers that be, the corporations, the money changers in the temple, those are the ones that's making that choice. The only choice you have is your local sheriffs, your local mayors, your local city council. And these are usually people who grew up in your area, in your town. You may know them or know somebody who does know them. You're closer to the people than what you are to these people running for CEO of USA Inc. So anyway, that's my program for today. I want to thank those who called in and shared their perspective. I want to thank those people I talked to over the weekend about black businesses and their experiences, because it's something that is very, very important. When we're doing business, I don't care who you're doing business with, if it's a person that don't look like you, that belong to a different classification, then you still should treat them the same. You shouldn't be cheating anyone. You shouldn't be looking to get over on anyone. And when you do that as a black business, you make us all look bad and you hurt us all. Not just the people you're victimizing, but you're hurting us all as a movement. So get your business ethics in order. That's my program for today. I'll be back on air tomorrow, Tuesday, at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Stay tuned. Tando Radio Show will be on air at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. For those listening on YouTube, just stay tuned to the channel. That stream will be coming up shortly. Recognize the fact that you live behind enemy lines. This country is ruled by a corporation called USA Inc. And even in their constitution, it says that slavery is legal as punishment for crime. Well, everybody who's been convicted of a crime ain't no criminal. And some of these crimes that's on the books are not crimes, but they are made up statutes and laws that people have put in place to subject other people to their will, to make them do what they want them to do. It has nothing to do with freedom or liberty. It's about them forcing their agenda on the rest of us. To me, a crime is only a crime when I have harmed another individual, whether that's his person or her person or their property. If there's no victim, there's no crime. We need to get these people out of prison. All right. So that's the country you live in, where you are at risk of being a slave. You might get some lying white woman out there talking about you broke in her house, and then you get wrongfully convicted. And next thing you know, you 10 years a slave. We got to counter this system. We got to do our very best, and we have to make sure that our value system is in order. All right. With that said, be safe out there. Peace and blessings to all.